Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Cara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. Happy, beautiful new day, my friends. And if you are in one of those days that feels like a shit new day instead, I'm happy to be with you in that as well. I have a story to tell you today about, but you know, it would be weird if I started the podcast with happy shit new day. I mean the full gamut. So I got a story to tell you about this challenge I've been doing with myself, and I'm hoping some of you will grab a hold of the baton and try this yourselves as well. So this started just recently. First, I got to back up a little bit. I got to tell you that I have this theory about happiness. I really truly believe that happiness is a practice, and we're going to dive into the how-tos of that in the next episode. Because happiness isn't something that we really get taught. It's just something that we all sort of talk about and strive for, like it's a number in the bank account or a number of followers or a certain thing that we achieve. And it's just not, right? Happiness is a state. It's an emotion. It's an emotional state. So we got to talk a little bit about emotions. We understand kind of the anatomy of emotions, and we have to talk about this theory that I have. So the theory goes that you actually know how to do happiness way better than you think you do for pretty much everybody. I have this theory that most people, a friend did challenge me on this the other day because I was saying, I think pretty much everyone. And she was like, I think very few people. So I'm curious what you think. I think that most people, if I stood in front of them and I said, I have $5 million in this duffel bag, and I just want you to pretend for a second that you and I actually know how much $5 million cash would be. Could we fit it in a duffel bag? I don't fucking know. Is it 10 duffel bags? Could we lift it? Is it like, would it not be a duffel bag at all? Would I be like, in this Hummer, I have $5 million. I don't know. But anyway, so let's pretend I have $5 million cash and I'm standing in front of a random stranger. And I say, and they have reason to believe me because I look really, not like a wackadoo or something. So standing in front of the stranger, and I tell them, this money is yours, free and clear, if you can generate 3 seconds of happiness. You just have to feel happy for 3 seconds. Can you do it? And I really believe that most people with enough impetus, right, within good enough reason, I mean, we could find a really negative reason, right? Like puppies will die or something if you don't do this, right? I don't know. But I like the money better. I really think that people could figure out a way to generate it. And here's one way to think about this is think about the way that it works when people are acting, right? Really good actors are good at their craft because they can generate an emotion. In a scene that's sad, they're actually feeling sad. They're not just pretending sad. And how do you actually feel sad? Well, you think about a sad thing, right? The time your dog died when you were a kid. doesn't take much. But so many of us, that's right where we go to, right? If I need to feel sad, I go right there. So we're pretty practiced. And I really think that, interestingly, if I said I want you to feel sad for $5 million, it would probably be easier for us to do that than if I said I want you to feel happy for $5 million. So take a second, reflect on that. If someone was to ask you, which is easier to like conjure the emotion of, the true emotion in your body, just for 3 seconds, even 1 second, but to actually feel sad or to actually feel happy, I think most people it's easier for us because we practice sadness more often. That's it. That's it. Okay, so that I got this theory, right? And I've had this theory a long time and it just sort of floats around in my head. So you got to know that to know the rest of the story. So let's say maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, I was listening to this panel of people speaking, and one of the people was a coach, and he mentioned something about giving his clients a challenge about joy, to practice feeling joy throughout the day. And he just sort of breezed past it in and amongst something else he was saying. He didn't really give any explanation or anything else. But I heard it and I latched onto that and I thought, man, I have this theory about happiness and about how we can cultivate it. And I have spent a lot of my life learning and practicing happiness and joy. I kind of want to make myself this joy challenge. I was feeling like I was getting a little rusty in the joy department. So I gave myself this joy challenge, and here's what I did. I said, as many times as I think of it during the day, anytime I remember this, whatever I'm doing in that moment, I have to stop what I'm doing or keep doing it, whatever. But I have to see if I can feel joy. And this is like a dare I gave myself, right? And I just wanted to see what would happen. And then I wanted to see how long I could hold it. So much of the time, we wait for external circumstances to create our emotions. But here's the little anatomy of emotions we're going to do really quickly here. This is where emotions actually come from, and there is one place and one place only, and that is your thoughts. It is not your external circumstances. But we think it's our external circumstances. When I see a puppy jumping around, I'm all about puppies today, apparently. When I see a puppy jumping around and wrestling with a piece of grass, it brings me joy. But the truth is that it's the thought that I have about the event or external circumstance that brings the joy. Our emotions are in direct response to our thoughts. Those thoughts are oftentimes subtle or subconscious or so fast that we just don't even notice them. But your emotions are responding to your thoughts. And if you want to delve a little more into it, there's an amazing book called The Astonishing Power of Emotions by Abraham Hicks that I highly recommend. So anyway, let's say you saw when we were younger, it was long distance commercials. Do you remember how friggin' sad long distance commercials were? So let's say you see some, that's the last time I was willing to watch television with commercials in it, by the way. Can't tolerate it. So let's say you see some commercial or whatever, and it's people on the TV, you know they are paid actors, they are pretending to be sad because they miss one another, because it's like a father and a daughter or a mother and a kid, and they don't talk very often, and you know, God bless it, long distance or some shit is the commercial. But it's so tender, and so you feel an emotional response to that. And if I said to you, I mean, did you feel sad just now when I said that? Probably not. I was describing to you exactly what was on the TV, right? Two people who are actors pretending a scenario, pretending to be sad. They don't get to talk very much. Then they get to talk and it's happy or some crap, right? Do you feel an emotional response? Probably not. When you watch it, maybe you have a parent that you haven't talked to in a while and you feel homesick for them, or you know someone who, somehow this relates, right? There's some relation that your brain makes. Or you think about how many people who that is the case for them, and maybe you get to live close to the people that you love, but they don't. Or someone's relative recently died who you care about, and so you think about that. So your brain starts making all these connections, probably so fast for you maybe don't even notice it, and then you feel that emotional response. Once we understand how this works, we can reverse engineer it. So if every emotion you've ever felt was because of a thought, then how do we create emotion? Because remember, there's $5 million sitting right here in this dump truck. Or I don't know, maybe you can fit it into a briefcase like they do in the movies. I think a dump truck is better, so maybe it's ones. We have a dump truck full of ones, 5 million of them to be exact, and it's for you. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to come up with thoughts that evoke happiness. Okay? So that's kind of the background, right? That's the background for this experiment I went into with myself. And here is what I discovered. Number one, every time I would do this, so my brain knew this was our challenge, right? And I would get that little impulse, little tap on the shoulder from my higher self, that little thought in my, I would get reminded, oh yeah, I was going to do the joy thing. Okay, right now, joy. And the first thing without hesitation that my brain did was physically turn my head and turn my gaze to look at something in nature. I think one of the earlier times I tried this, I was standing outside a yoga studio waiting for it to open to go into the class, and my brain looked right across the little drive and stared at the tree and the flowers and the things, because my brain knows that my connection to nature brings me joy. So that was a really interesting thing to watch again and again and again. I also noticed that when I was practicing joy, when I was in that moment and I would try to find the joy, so I would focus and put effort into it for that moment. When I hit it, when I got to joy or when I got close to it, I immediately got immensely more present. So I, having done energy work for many, 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 many years, I know very clearly the feeling of deep presence, right? I know the sensations of it in my body. I can visually see it. All the colors get brighter. Everything gets, usually the emotions get better. Like when I really come fully, fully, fully present into the moment, fully into my body all the way, because most of us are kind of a little ways in out doing all the things. We're a little bit in the future, a little bit in the past. We're go, go, go. We're half in our bodies, whatever. When I get really, really, really present, that's what happens. There's this heightened sense of perception, I guess, is the best way I can describe it. It's like everything goes technicolor. So immediately I go look at nature and I start focusing on the beauty of it. Immediately my heart swells. As soon as I'm looking for joy, I feel, and I start to get closer to it, I feel my heart swelling. So it was really fun in this experiment to break down, what does it feel like physically? What does joy feel like? And what does it feel like to go into joy? As opposed to just finding myself in joy because I was in an event or a moment or whatever that the thoughts were bringing me there, but I wasn't necessarily paying attention to it. I'm paying such close attention in this experiment because I'm trying to do it on purpose. Joy isn't something we usually try to do so much on purpose. So I watched the trajectory of going from whatever emotional state I was in into joy. There was this swelling in my heart. I noticed that if I tried to do it with thoughts alone, it was slower and more difficult than if I leaned on thoughts and evoking something in my physical body. Do you know the fake it till you make it, right? So a couple times what I did is I got up and I jumped up and down, or I did a fast little run, like as if I was so excited. And that brought about a response in my body, and that made it easier for me to get to a place of joy. I'm sure you know that If you smile, like fake smile, and you hold it for a moment, your brain starts to send all these chemicals into your body that are the same kind of chemicals as when you think happy thoughts and it evokes happiness. So your body can help along with the emotional responses, the chemical emotional responses. So a couple other things I noticed. Joy was challenging to hold if I didn't have a really good reason. Isn't that fascinating? So one of the things I started using, I was using nature, right? I was really dropping in, and as I was focusing and looking at nature, of course my brain was thinking, how beautiful, look at the way the leaf shimmers in the, and then there's a shadow, and it all just kind of moves because of the breeze, and then I could feel the breeze on my skin, and really the thoughts that were happening in my head were, fuck, I'm so happy to be alive. Not really so much out loud, maybe kinda, but when I was looking at nature, that's what was happening, is those were the kind of thoughts that were there. It's so beautiful. I'm so grateful. God, I love this planet. Look at the bright colors. Look at the beautiful this. Look at the crisp lines. Look at the... So that's what was causing this joy response. The other thing is I met this little kid recently who has the most expressive face of any human I've ever met. Times like 100. And everything brings out expression in this little kid. I want to say he's like 2.5, maybe 2 years old. So doesn't talk a whole bunch. He mostly just expresses. When he wants something is this big wide-eyed expression and he points to it. Or maybe he says a few words, kind of shy. He probably talks a lot more around people he knows more. He's only met me a couple times. And then when you get it, when you're like, is it this? Is it this? Is it that? His whole face lights up. Like you just discovered the cure for cancer. And all you did was say, like, did you want to jump on the trampoline? And his face lights up as if you had just given him the $5 million or whatever the little kid equivalent of that would be, like 5 million popsicles or something. So whole face, just like the light up of exquisite joy in this kid's face is, it's like looking into the sun. So that's been an excellent thing. I just imagine that in my head and my whole body reacts to it because the thought response is like, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I also noticed in this experiment that it took a lot of effort to try to stay there. To try to stay in the joy. Emotions really are fleeting because our thoughts are pretty fleeting. The reason that we stay in emotions for a period of time is because we're continuing to have thoughts that are generating more of that emotion, right? You know this because every single human frickin' does this in an argument, right? With another person. Oh yeah? Well, do you remember that time when you did this? And then when I was 7 and it happened again and like blah, 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 blah. And whether you're doing it out loud or in your head, that's what's happening. Your brain is like, oh, are we doing the thing where we feel victimized? Great. Here's every time we've ever felt like that. Are we mad? Let's talk about all the times we've ever been mad. And we have those pretty much like quick draw. They're on repeat, right? We know how to get to them easily. We just don't practice happiness in the same way. Always. Sometimes we do. I hope you do. So I started to see how long could I hold the joy. And as soon as I started thinking about like, okay, how many seconds has that been? It would slip because I was no longer thinking thoughts that were evoking joy. And when you find yourself naturally in a state of joy, there's usually been a lot of thoughts around whatever the circumstance is that get you to that state, and your thoughts are continuing to swirl around that, right? Like if that little kid was really in my lap talking to me and I was watching his face, it would probably be his face lighting up again and again and again and me laughing and feeling delighted and amazed. And my thoughts would be continuously like narrating, having opinions about this that were evoking joy. One of the other things that I noticed is that if I was really feeling in a low, low, low emotional state, then it took a lot more work to get to happiness, right? That seems natural. If you're feeling really bummed, then getting to joy is much harder, right? That's logical. But because I was putting the effort in, because I was challenging myself, there was never a time I wasn't able to get myself way higher on the emotional scale. Almost every time I played this game, I at least tapped on joy like a quick, like, high five. or came within a few degrees of it. I could at least get really high up towards appreciation, which is just a few degrees below joy. So the times when I was already feeling in a really heightened emotional state and in a really aligned emotional state in a really good place, when I put the effort into like trying to tip up into joy, it was nearly orgasmic. It was like a wave of love that washed over me. It was probably, however, more important and more impactful when I did this practice from a shit-feeling place, because I took myself from maybe feeling resentment or something really funky, lethargy, anxiety, to a place of feeling appreciation or hopefulness. And that's a really huge leap to make in moments. Never when I was playing this game did I spend more than, I didn't time it, but maybe like a minute, 30 seconds, a couple minutes, I'm not sure. It was fast. I wasn't like interrupting my day. It was like right while I was driving and people were talking to me. And I would think of it and I would keep doing it and I would do it right then. So it was a tiny little thing that was happening. And over not many days, over a couple days, my overall vibration went up pretty substantially, I would say. Just my general mood overall was higher. And I'm not talking about doing this 20 times a day. Maybe 3, 2, 4, like depending on the day, how many times I got the little nudge and remembered. So I would be so curious if anyone is willing to give this a try. And it doesn't really matter if joy is what you're reaching for. Maybe you've been in a really struggle place lately, and so peace. Maybe it's your experiment is the peace experiment. You pick. But it's really powerful in the moment when we go from whatever it is we were feeling to feeling something else on purpose because we just made that happen. It reminds you that you are not stuck as a victim to just react to life with your own thoughts, but with no control over it. Life will happen around you, but you have infinite control over your thoughts. It does take a lot of practice, but you really do. And therefore, over your emotional state. And here's the really fucking cool extra little bonus piece in this. And that is that the thing law of attraction is responding to is your vibrational state. If you imagine that your higher self has this list, like this crazy ass Santa list of all the things you desire, way more than you think. If you listed a list of all the things you desire, the list your higher self has like 100 times longer. Of all the things you desire, and your higher self is orchestrating all this stuff, law of attraction is zinging it to you. But you've got to be on the energetic vibrational wavelength to let things in. Have you ever tried to give someone a compliment when they hate themselves? Or when they're having a day where they're just so stuck in their own, I'm a shit human being, I'm just ugly and stupid, no one loves me. And you're like, I think you're beautiful. And they're like, ugh, thanks. And it doesn't land, right? Or maybe they're like, thank you, because they know you're trying, but they don't believe it. They can't really receive it. Well, that's you and me and all of us and law of attraction. Like, it's really hard to get the good stuff in when we're not in a vibrational space to let it in. So if you imagine your vibration as being this like beautiful drawbridge that lets the good stuff in or doesn't let the good stuff in. Emotions in emotional state and vibration being really good, full of love, full of appreciation, full of peace, full of whatever it is, drawbridge open. Stuck in your victimhood, stuck in feeling like crap, having a tantrum day, now super high five for you for humaning. Big pat on the back. You get a trophy for that, in my opinion, because that's part of what you came here to do, so good job. But drawbridge kind of closed during that piece, and that's okay. New desires are being born out of that. Your higher self is writing her list, his list, their list, like mad. New desires, new desires, new desires. You just can't have any of those things until you get the drawbridge open again. So this joy experiment is shifting your vibration, yes, for nanoseconds at a time, but also cumulatively over a period if you keep doing it. And your drawbridge is way more open and good stuff is coming. So secretly, I just taught you a manifestation practice, but I want you to do it because for all the good stuff, actually, I don't care why you do it. Pick any excuse you can. Pretend I actually have $5 million that I would give you. Okay. Pretend I'm there with the dump truck. Anything you got to do, just try it. And then let me know how it goes. My deepest gratitude for you for listening and being part of this podcast. Thank you for sharing and reviewing and sending us your takeaways. I always love it. I do hope you'll join us for the two upcoming brand new courses we have, Manifestation Magic, where you will learn the art of dancing with the universe and letting life be greater than you ever dreamed, followed by For the Love of Money, where you get to blossom into the next level of money, abundance, financial security, or wealth by healing the layers of what limits you, expanding your capacity, adjusting your upper limit, and evolving your personal relationship with the energy of money. You can register for one, or you can save when you bundle them together. The links to find out more are right in the show notes. By the way, we have set up some free gifts for you. So if you haven't received those yet, head over to caraviana.com and download them now. There's some goodies, including a guided meditation and an energy healing. With my deepest love, salud to all that you are and all that you are becoming.